Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again here on Relevant Radio. And it is another beautiful summer day, and we are resting in the midst of God's provision. And I also want to I want to follow up with you and ask specifically this summer, what are you doing in terms of meaning, in terms of deepening your own conversion to Christ? We've talked a little bit about summer reading lists. Perhaps you're doing some of that summer reading list that we've been recommending. Maybe you're increasing some prayer time. Maybe you're taking some time on retreat this summer. Maybe instead of just doing a summer vacation, it's appropriate for you to do a little bit of a retreat time where you go and be away with God by yourself to hear His voice more clearly. And I ask specifically about conversion this morning because of the show we've got lined up that I'm very excited about. So, of course, here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, we are hopefully very familiar with the story of our patron, St. Paul. And we know about his life and his ministry, and we see it hopefully pervading not only the lectionary, the readings that we have throughout the liturgical year, but also I hope that there's a kind of a Pauline sense of ministry here in the Twin Cities. And we recognize that here being under his care and under his intercession, that we are always called to deepening conversion. Well, I'd like to go all the way back to St. Paul's conversion, on his own conversion, and how he came to know the Lord. Just in case you're not familiar, I'm sure many of you are familiar, but just in case you're not familiar, so St. Paul, then known as Saul, was persecuting the church. He was a zealous Pharisee in the Jewish religion. And he thought that this new way that had sprung up was in contradiction to so many parts of the Jewish faith, right? And so he took it upon himself in his zeal to go and oversee the persecution of this new way, this Christian way, even before they were called Christians. And he saw himself as this kind of bringer of God's justice in these ways. And in fact, Scripture even tells us how he oversaw the stoning of St. Stephen, one of the first Christian martyrs, the proto-martyr, if you will, of the Christian faith. And as he oversaw that and as he oversaw the persecution of others, he started to expand his own reaching out and bringing about God's justice beyond his own realm there in Palestine, and looked to the north. And so he was headed up to Damascus when he was stricken, and he saw this brilliant figure who called out to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, just as a little subtext there, there's some very interesting ecclesiology going on there, a very interesting understanding about who the church is, because Saul was persecuting the church, right? And Jesus, yet he cries out, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" So you see how closely our Lord identifies with the church. Anyway, he was on his way to Damascus, so it was on that road to Damascus. And that's what I wanted to emphasize, especially for this morning, that Saul had his conversion, right? And he became known then as Paul. And on that road to Damascus, there still live a number of Christians and a number of people who are his spiritual descendants of St. Paul there, all throughout what we know as the Middle East, and as we'll hear, which rightly, I think, deserves to be included in that term, Holy Land. And joining us on the show today, we're going to have both Core Bishop Charbel Maroun, is the pastor of St. Marin's Church in Northeast Minneapolis. And we're also going to be joined by Deacon Mickey Friesen, who is the director of the Center for Mission. And we're going to be talking about the Maronite tradition, and we're also going to be talking about a new relationship that is beginning to form between our archdiocese and the Diocese of Damascus, Syria. So Paul, once again, returns to Damascus. So I'm excited about this program, and I hope that you will stick with us and learn some about history, about traditions outside of the Latin Rite of the Roman Catholic Church, of the Catholic Church, and see where the Lord would like to open us to deepening conversion even on this day. So before we get rolling, though, let's pause and commit the show to the intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray together in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we will be back just after this with Core Bishop Charbel Maroun and a little bit of history about Christianity in the Middle East. Rediscover.
This commercial contains sounds that may scare many people. That sound, that is a computer. The computer you just heard is behaving. These days, many computers don't behave. They get infected, hacked, taken over, or just become stuffed with operating information and become
slow.
Or worse. If your computer, laptop, tablet, or almost any device isn't behaving, call Computer Docs. Their local experts can usually repair, restore, and rehabilitate the worst computer issues. Computer Docs has been helping save computers for more than a decade, and they do it fast and affordably. Get your electronics singing again by calling Computer Docs, 763-425-0275. You'll get help fast from a Relevant Radio sponsor you can trust. Computer Docs, 763-425-0275.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. We are talking today with Core Bishop Charbel Maroun, who joins me in studio now to talk about, all sorts of things, including the Maronite Catholic Church and his role as the pastor of St. Maron's in Northeast Minneapolis. Also about some of the history about the Maronite tradition there in Lebanon, which goes back really to the very beginning. And so I am delighted to have with us Core Bishop Charbel Maroun. Welcome to the program, Abuna.
Thank you, dear Patrick.
Yeah.
Blessings to you and to Relevant Radio.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to have you on the air. So I have just so many questions. I'm not even sure exactly where to begin. But why don't you start with, so you yourself are from Lebanon, is that correct, initially?
Correct. I was born in Lebanon 1962 and migrated to the States in 1983.
In 1983.
Correct.
And did you come straight to St. Maron's from
there? Actually, no. I came to the States to study computer in New Jersey, and then a year later I discovered my vocation and became a priest 4 years later and came to Minnesota 28 years ago.
Wow. So you're almost as native as the rest of us then.
Correct, yes.
Most of
my life I lived at St. Maron's.
Okay, very good, very good. Okay, well, we'll get into certainly your pastoral duties and what life is like there at St. Maron's. But first of all, I'm hoping that you can outline for us some of the Maronite history. What is the Maronite Catholic Church? Explain that for us.
The Maronite Catholic Church is a branch of the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Within the one Catholic Church, there are 22 sisters or branches, 21 that came from the East and one that came from the West, which is the Roman Catholic Church. Mm. The Maronite Church sprouted out of Antioch, and it was in Antioch where the disciples of Jesus were called Christians for the first time.
Right.
And our Patriarch, we are a patriarchal church, and our patriarch still carries the title of the Patriarch of Antioch and the whole East. And our patriarch always takes the middle name of Peter, because his successor of Peter in Antioch, that see, was founded by St. Peter. So our present patriarch, for example, Bishara, Peter, Rai, all of them, they take the middle name of Peter.
Wow.
So the Maronite Church is one of the 22 sisters, and all of these sisters are equal in three things, and three things that makes them Catholic. Faith, that's the creed. We all profess the same creed. Sacraments, we all have the same seven sacraments, celebrated a little differently. and we are all under the Pope.
Yeah.
So these are the three things that makes us Catholic.
So even though, just to clarify, even though your patriarch takes the middle name of Peter, that there still is obviously a connection with the Holy Father in Rome then as well.
The patriarch, the Maronite patriarch, as well as the other six Eastern Rite patriarchs, they are under the Pope, and many of them are cardinals. So they are in the College of Cardinals too.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
And they could be elected popes too.
Yeah. And this goes, am I right in saying that the Maronite tradition, I mean, it goes all the way back to the very beginning.
Yeah. The Maronite church was founded after Saint Maron, who was a monk and a priest who died in the year 410.
Okay.
And it took its name from Maron, while all the other 21 other rites, they took their name either from a language or from a country. So the Latin, the Greek, the Coptics, the Armenian, the Ukrainian, the Ruthenian, etc.
Right.
They take their names from a country or from a language, except the Maronites, they take their name from a man, a person.
It's noticed to know
that, you know, the Maronite Church is the only church that had never split or had a division or schism from Rome. It was founded Catholic in the 410, and it remains Catholic until today. Every other church, you know, had, unfortunately, a schism at one time in history, except the Maronites.
Wow. Yeah, that must be what I was thinking of. I knew that there was a connection somehow historically with Rome that was unique.
Correct.
Okay. Well, so tell us, can you tell us a little bit more about the life of Saint Maron? I mean, you brought him up.
Saint Maron was born in northern Syria, close to Antioch today. Lived as a hermit and a monk, a very holy ascetic life. And they said by the time that he died, he had attracted close to 800 men and women who lived, you know, in a monastic way, in the mountains, in the valleys, in the caves, and so on. So by the time when he died, there was a pastoral center that has existed back then. They called it Beit Maron, or the family of Maron, and they came to be called the Maronites. So never wrote a book, never, you know, went probably across the Syrian borders to anywhere.
Yeah.
But yet he formed a great church that still exists, you know, some 1,700 years later.
Wow. And that's the patron of your parish here?
Correct. He's the patron. He's the founder of the Maronite Church, or our patron for the whole Maronite Church, but also the parish here in Minneapolis, which is 114 years old. And the first Mass was celebrated in Minneapolis on February 9, 1903, which is the Feast of Saint Maron.
Wow. That's great. 1903.
1903. And it's the oldest parish in our eparchy, or our diocese of Our Lady of Lebanon.
Wow. Really?
Correct, yeah.
Wow, some great history here. I wasn't aware it was that it had, as a parish, had been here for that long.
Correct. The other parish, there's another Maronite parish in the Twin Cities, Mendota Heights, Holy Family Church, that will be celebrating its 100th anniversary this coming year.
Right. And so is that just a result of people from Lebanon emigrating here to Minnesota?
Or it's the results of persecution. You know, the Maronites from day one, starting from St. Maron's time onward, there was always a persecution against them. So in the year 517, 350 Maronite monks were martyred. That was the beginning of martyrdom. And this year, 2017, the Maronite Church is dedicating this whole year for witnessing and martyrdom. And witnessing and martyrdom are almost one and the same word in Arabic, shaheed and shahada. They're the same roots. They come from the same thing. So a witness is a martyr all the time. Some are martyred by blood. Some are martyred, you know, in other ways. So the Maronites, they started their persecution with the 350 monks that were massacred in 517. And mainly they were massacred because they stood with Rome in defense of the Council of Chalcedon, which defined that Jesus was full God and full man in one person. And the Maronites stood with that. And of course, they started being persecuted by the enemies of the church at that time, probably considering that this is a blasphemy, that, you know, Jesus is not God, and et cetera. The persecution that's still going on up until today in Damascus and Lebanon and Antioch and elsewhere. But yet they continued to stand and to witness. And, you know, there were a wave of persecution that went on between the 7th century and the coming of the Crusaders. So when the Crusaders went to the Middle East, they discovered that there were people that they say the faith of Peter is my faith, and my faith is the faith of Peter.
Mm.
In other words, that they were still Catholic and defenders of the Catholic faith in the Middle East, while they had thought that there were no more Catholics that exist in the Middle East. And of course, the Maronites stood with the Crusaders, the first Crusaders to go and to save the Holy Land. And then when the Crusaders went back to Europe, of course, who was left behind? The Maronites. They were a subject for persecution by the enemies of Christianity up until today.
Right, yeah. And we will definitely talk more about that. I'm curious to know also, Cor Bishop, if there's, you were given the name Charbel, right? And there's a Saint Charbel as well.
Correct.
Can you tell us a little bit about Saint Charbel?
Well, we might need like about 5 hours to do that, but Saint Charbel
I'll see what you can do about that.
Okay, Saint Charbel is one of the greatest, most famous saints probably today, and most active saint that exists nowadays in the Middle East and beyond. Charbel was a monk and a hermit who lived in the mountain of Lebanon, died Christmas night, 1898. And for 60 years, his body was still incorrupt. And,
wow.
Right after he died, there was a light shining out of his tomb every single night. And the Turks at that time, who were the Ottomans who were occupying the Middle East, mm-hmm. they kept accusing the monks of having a saint or having someone spying at them without knowing that this light coming out of the ground. And finally, they came and they surrounded the monastery. And, of course, there was a light shining out of the dirt. And when they opened the tomb, they found Saint Charbel's body incorrupt. And that continued for years. But in the 1950s, hundreds and thousands of miracles started happening through his intercession.
Mm.
Lots of them to non-Christian, to Muslim and to Jews in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, now we see his devotion spreading big time in Mexico mainly, and Latin America, in Ukraine and Russia, and Africa, you name it. Everywhere, you know, people have known about this great saint who never left, you know, two hills in Lebanon, but yet now he's famous worldwide,
yeah,
everywhere.
Worldwide. Yeah, well, God willing, I hope to meet him someday.
God willing.
Yeah, that'd be excellent. So let's, talking about your own vocation, how did you unpack that? How did you realize that you think the Lord was calling you to the priesthood?
Well, that started in early life, probably. I had that desire in my life. And when I was 14 and a half, the war broke in Lebanon, the civil war. And being a young man, like every other man, I had to carry the gun and go to war. Mm-hmm. And I was in the militia for 8 years, working, you know, to defend my country, going to school. But yet at the same time, there were times when I had to go to service. And that continued up until 1983. When I had applied for a student visa to come to the United States. My vocation was still growing in Lebanon. 3 times I tried to go and experience it as a monk or even as a diocesan priest, but I felt that God was not ready for me yet. And then when I came to the United States, you know, I lived in New Jersey with my family, my brother and sister at that time. And there I started hearing and feeling more the desire to serve the Lord, but also the need of people. The need of people, I think, let me feel that, you know, God is calling me to serve and to dedicate my life, you know, for something that is so much needed also in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
And I said yes to the Lord 1 year after I arrived to the United States, September 4th, 1984. And I entered the Maronite Seminary in Washington, D.C., and 4 or 5 years later, I was ordained. I went back to Lebanon to be ordained on my birthday, which is January 6th.
Wow.
And then I was 10, 15 years later, elevated Monsignor January 6th and Cor Bishop another time, January 6th. So it's easy to remember that
day. Which is the Feast of the Epiphany as
Correct.
Well. Yeah.
It's my namesake also, Epiphany.
Yeah. Oh, gee. I love the way the Lord just knits all these things together.
Amen.
That brings joy to my heart. Wow. Okay, and so, and then you were assigned to St. Mary's?
Correct. I served in Danbury, Connecticut for 6-7 months, and then after that I was exiled to Minnesota.
You were exiled to Minnesota. Yeah. How does somebody from the Middle East deal with Minnesota winters? Of course, you've been here for a long time now. So,
well, I've been enough here. Lebanon is a country, you know, that people misunderstand it most of the time, because Lebanon is, they call it the Switzerland of the Middle East, because it has the ocean, it has the mountains, it has the highest mountains in the Middle East.
Mm.
with tons of snow in the winter. So people think Lebanon is a desert. It's totally wrong. It's a small country. It's 80 miles wide by 135 long.
Yeah.
It's all along the Mediterranean with very high mountains that go up to 10,000 feet.
Wow.
So it has many ski resorts and so on. So it has nothing to do with desert and heat and so on. It could be cold in the mountains in the winter.
I suppose so. Right. Correct. All right, so here you are now, exiled in Minnesota, although I just visited your parish a few weeks ago, and it was great to be there. Tell us now about the Maronite liturgy. So if we were to come, as my wife and I did, if we were to come and visit you on a Sunday morning, what can we expect to find?
I think you could expect lots of great things. One of them is you will be able to hear the words of consecration and part of the liturgy in the very same words that Jesus spoke, in the same language. Mm-hmm. So we use Aramaic in the Divine Liturgy. The Maronite Liturgy is based on the Liturgy of St. James, so it's one of the oldest. And I think it could be very much related to Jesus's culture and language and way of praying and chanting and so on. It's a very very traditional liturgy, but yet it's very easy to follow. So, and you have the books in your hands that have also the English part, so you're able to move through the liturgy very easily. And of course, any Catholic of the 22 rites is allowed and is able, and it is valid to come and to celebrate liturgy at St. Maron's or at any of the other 21 rites.
Yeah, that's very important to point out. So yes, you could come, you could visit St. Maron's there, you could take part in the Divine Liturgy, you can receive communion,
correct,
and it's all fulfills your Sunday obligation.
Exactly.
And you can stick around for some good Lebanese hospitality afterwards, as we did as well. Yeah, yeah, excellent. How large is the parish there at St. Maron's? How many parishioners do you have there?
We have close to 600 households.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
They spread all over the Twin Cities.
Of course.
See, many of the Maronites also, they attend the local Roman churches, but, you know, St. Maron remains their home. So wherever they are, you know, they come back, especially for the sacraments, sacraments of marriage and baptism. Those are to be done in the rite of the people. So they have to come back to St. Maron's for that, too.
Yeah. So I just wanted to, when we were there, when we were visiting, you had an infant being dedicated, was it? It wasn't a baptism.
It's an admission into the church.
So
when the baby comes the first time to church, the mother presents him at the door, and there is special rites of blessing, similar to how Jesus was presented to the temple.
Sure.
It's the presentation of the Lord to the temple, and then the priest carries the baby and takes him up on the altar and place him on the altar with a prayer dedicating him or her to the Lord.
It was one of the most beautiful things.
It is, and there's special blessing for the mother too. So the mother is the first time she's coming to church with the baby. There is a rite of purification, so to say,
right,
for the mother to come first time to church.
Right, yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And I think my experience, just to reflect on it a little bit, was that although it wasn't exactly the Novus Ordo Mass that I'm used to in the Latin Rite, it was pretty easy to follow. And even though there were parts in, as you mentioned, Aramaic, parts in Arabic, and parts in English as well, I think that just added to the transcendence of it. You know, to the mystery of the holy mysteries that we say in the Latin Rite as well, that we are celebrating the Holy Mysteries.
Exactly, and I encourage every Catholic in the Twin Cities at least to try to make it to one of the Eastern Rite churches. There are the two Maronite churches. There is the two Byzantine rites also that are Catholic in the Twin Cities. Just go and, you know, enjoy the richness of the Catholic Church.
Right.
That's what makes us Catholic. You know, otherwise it would be only Maronite or it would be Latin or it would be Byzantine. But we are Catholic because, you know, we are all forming this beautiful mosaic called the Catholic Church.
Exactly, exactly. We're speaking with Corps Bishop Charbel Maroon, a pastor of St. Maron's, here in Northeast Minneapolis, as we were just saying. And, okay, so you were elevated to Monsignor, and Monsignor is a title that we know and we understand, at least to a degree. But you were also elevated to this title, Corps Bishop. What is a Corps Bishop? I have not heard of that. And that's C-H-O-R.
Correct.
Bishop, yeah, okay.
Correct.
So
a core bishop, it's chor uskof. Chor uskof is episcopus or a bishop.
Mm-hmm.
It's a priest who is a bishop, so to say. You know, in the old days, the core bishops, you know, they represented the bishop as auxiliaries in the countrysides. the bishop couldn't go to all the vicariates in the diocese, in the big diocese, Damascus or in Beirut or wherever else. So he had the core bishops to represent him there. A core bishop is like an auxiliary bishop in the Roman Catholic Church, but without jurisdiction, so to say.
Okay.
He doesn't have the right to ordain priests or deacons, but he can function with everything else as representative of the bishop.
Wow, very nice. And then are you beholden to the patriarch and to the pope both as a core bishop?
Well, I'm beholden to my bishop who's in St. Louis or in Los Angeles,
the
Maronite bishop here.
The Maronite bishop.
And, of course, who's part of the Synod of Maronite Bishops in Kirky in Lebanon with the patriarch, who's also connected to the pope.
I see. Okay, wow. If you quiz me on this, I might actually get some of it wrong, so I apologize for that. Going back to St. Maron's for just a minute, my experience was when we visited that it wasn't just Lebanese people who were there.
Of course, St. Maron is a home to many cultures and to many people from different parts of the world, including the Irish or the German or the Italians or the Hispanics. But mainly people from the Middle East. So there are large group from Lebanon, but we have people from every part of the Holy Land, so to say, from Palestine, from Syria, from Jordan, from Iraq, from Egypt, people from around Lebanon. We have about 40 families that are from Turkey. So we have Catholics and we have Orthodox. We have people of other traditions that they come because they like to worship according to the Maronite way.
Yeah.
Whether it's the language that attracts them, or it's the spirit, or it is the prayers, the liturgy, there is something that attracts them to come and pray there. And, of course, it's a blessing for us.
Right. Well, we had a wonderful time with you. And we did. That was not our first time at St. Maron's, although it was our first time there for the liturgy. We did drop by before when you had your summer festival. I think a couple of years ago. Have you had it already this year?
No, it's coming up September 23, 24.
So maybe it was in the fall.
A commercial for Paul to enjoy too. It's September 23, 24, St. Maron's Festival.
Oh my goodness. And if you want some great food, let me, for me, it's all about the food, right?
So
it's the Holy Eucharist first, but after that, any other kind of food is nourishing.
It's
to the
It's a Holy
body
Land
well.
Food. So
it is. Good. It's wonderful, wonderful things. Does St. Maron's have a website if people are interested in finding out more about
it? Yes, www.stmaron.com, stmaron.com, or, St. Maron. Email is the same thing, stmaron@stmaron.com.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, Core Bishop, I'm going to ask you, and I should mention too, occasionally we'll call you Abuna as well. And just remind us, what does Abuna mean?
Abuna means father, taken from the roots Abba. Mm. That's what you call God, Abba, daddy.
Right.
So yeah. Abuna is a daddy. He's a daddy to the community. He's a father.
Ah, very good.
A spiritual father, of course.
Yeah, love it. So, Abuna, we're going to ask you to stay around, and we're going to take a little bit of a break, but then we're going to come back and be joined by Deacon Mickey Friesen, who is the director of the Center for Mission, and we're going to talk about this new partnership that's going on. So can you stick around with us?
Of course. I'd be happy.
Okay, wonderful. So just after this, we are going to come back with Deacon Mickey, and we're going to talk more about this partnership between St. Paul and Damascus. Stay with us.
It's that time of year that we all like to look our best, including our smile. Your calendar may include weddings or family reunions. I'm Dr. Janet Zingali of the Dentist House in Edina, and now also in Uptown Minneapolis. We can help your smile this week at either of our two metro locations. We approach all phases of your dental health with your comfort in mind. We can answer questions about your teeth, or we can improve your smile in time for an important occasion. We accept most dental plans and have our own membership program for those without insurance. The Dentist House in Edina and Uptown Minneapolis. We can see you on short notice and offer appointments on evenings and weekends. We welcome your call and questions at 952-929-9131 or visit us online at dentisthouse.com. My husband, Dr. Mike, and I welcome you to try our comfortable and affordable approach to dentistry at the Dentist House. Call us soon at 952-929-9131.
Song shall rise.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, coming to you live from the studios in Golden Valley, the Relevant Radio studios, 1330 AM here in Golden Valley. Patrick Conley with you, along with our producer, Susanna Boley, and our technical producer, Paul Sadek. And we are talking today about, well, we've been talking about the Maronite Catholic tradition with Abuna, Core Bishop Charbel Maroon, and we are joined in studio now, as well as with Abuna, we are with Deacon Mickey Friesen, who is the director of the Center for Mission for the Archdiocese. And you're coming up on 20 years as a deacon as well. That's what you told us just before the show began. Deacon, welcome to you.
Thank you. Good morning. Nice to be here.
Good morning. And if you are currently assigned at St. Thomas Becket in Eagan, we should probably... Eagan. Did I say that right? Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. So shout out to the people in Eagan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, Eagan, hope you're listening. Hope you're tuning in. Excellent. Deacon, let me start with you and just ask, how did you get involved with the Center for Mission, and what is the Center for Mission?
Yeah, so the Center for Mission represents an entity called the Pontifical Mission Societies. Some people don't know that we're not actually an archdiocesan office. We represent this international ministry of the Church, the Universal Church, the Pontifical Mission of the Church, the Holy Father's mission to the world. And every diocese in the world has an office like ours that's dedicated to promoting the missionary life of the Church and promoting the unity, cooperation amongst all the various churches around the world. So we are that office in this diocese, and there's an office like ours in every diocese in the world.
Wow.
And so in this archdiocese, we've been in existence since 1935. We support the work of the propagation of the faith. Mm. We also are really serving this role of animating the mission life of the Church, in other words, telling the stories and finding ways to cooperate with the Church's mission around the world. So,
wow. And how did you first get involved with the Center for Mission?
Well, I was happily serving in parish ministry 20 years, 17 years ago, and I got one of those calls saying, we'd like you to consider becoming the director of the Propagation of the Faith office.
Mm.
And so I began really having had really no direct experience with this whole aspect of the Church.
Mm.
And it's been a wonderful... for me, a wonderful journey of getting a real sense of what we mean by Catholic, the
mm-hmm.
Catholic faith,
mm-hmm.
Getting a chance to see the many faces of the Catholic Church around the world up close and personal, and having a role in trying to connect our people here locally to that universal mission of the Church. It's been a wonderful blessing. So.
Right, and this whole idea of international partnerships between dioceses, this isn't something new, and it's not something new to our archdiocese, right?
No, we have a relatively long history of this archdiocese being in particular relationships in mission. We have now more than a 40-year relationship with a mission in Venezuela. Our own mm-hmm. priests are currently serving in the Diocese of Ciudad Guayana.
Mm-hmm.
Providing parish ministry in that place that is, as you know, going through terrible turmoil right now and trying to minister in the middle of that. And about 12 years ago, we were invited into a particular relationship with the Diocese of Kitui, Kenya, in Africa. And so we have had various kinds of delegations and ways that we are cooperating with that church in Africa. We just, in fact, just had a delegation from the Archdiocese go, including our Vicar General and parish representatives, and they come here. And so this idea of us partnering with the Church in the Middle East is something new, but it's not something that's unusual for this archdiocese. We have done this before.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Okay, so let's get into that, this new burgeoning partnership, this relationship between our archdiocese and the Diocese of Damascus. Core Bishop, I understand that a lot of this, or at least some of it, started with your own relationship with the bishop over there. Is that correct?
I think it started with Archbishop Pibda, and we sent him our deepest and blessed regards, you know, today. Wonderful. And thanksgiving for that, because I think he is the one who initiated that with Deacon Mickey here in the Twin Cities. And Deacon Mickey reached out to me, and we're trying to do something with the refugees. As you know, I came from Lebanon. Lebanon is a small country of 4 million people, but it has on the top of that 2 million refugees. So there are 6 million people in a small country the size of the Twin Cities, with all the hardships that's going on. So we're going to try to assist people, you know, through Caritas Lebanon and other means and so on. And finally, we made the connection with Bishop Nassar, who's in Damascus, and we figured that this could be probably the most effective way, is to reach out to the people that are refugees within their own country and that are suffering there. So, and to do it through the Maronite bishop, because we know him,
right,
was the ideal thing to do.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Deacon, we were talking before the show began about particularly one way that this that our archdiocese has already been contributing to the needs there with the Good Friday collection. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, we got started. Our own U.S. bishops meeting last fall took this up as one of their issues, is how are we entering into solidarity with brothers and sisters in the Middle East.
Right.
And the bishops were given a challenge to go back to their diocese to say how you could be in more direct solidarity. And so Archbishop Hebda, when he came back, asked me, how can we do this? And over a period of months, having talked with Abuna Charbel and our own Catholic Relief Services partners that are working in the Middle East, and others, we were led to the Archdiocese of Damascus. And when this came together, where it came together for me also was on January 25th when it was decided, which is the feast day of the conversion of St. Paul,
right,
which is our one of our archdiocesan feast days.
Right.
And it just occurred to me that it was on his way to Damascus that St. Paul met the Lord. And I wondered if that isn't happening again, that as the Archdiocese of St. Paul is on its road to Damascus, how will we, you know, encounter the Lord anew in this relationship? So I got chills up my spine when it came together. And it was around that time that we decided to pursue this. And so as an early way of trying to get engaged, we were asking for stories about the situation in the Holy Land, and in particular, in Damascus. And so we've been in correspondence with the bishop and hearing directly firsthand accounts of the church there. One way that we could practically do something was during every year on Good Friday, we take up this collection for the Holy Land. And this gave us an opportunity to think of the Holy Land a little broader than just the sites within Jerusalem itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Archbishop Hebda gave us a bit of a challenge that for anything that we would raise above what we gave last year, we could dedicate it towards to the Archdiocese of Damascus.
Wow.
So as of right now, we've raised over $30,000 more than what we did previously. But during Lent and the Good Friday collection, it gave us an opportunity to introduce this idea, this initiative, to the archdiocese and the parishes, and to make a connection between Good Friday and the Holy Land and these brothers and sisters in Damascus.
Yeah, like you say, it's a beautiful, again, the Lord knitting these things together in such a poetic way.
Right.
It is one of those things that gives you chills up and down your spine, so it's wonderful. So we started talking about this in terms of refugees, and this is for either one of you. So what do you know, what can you tell us about the state of the Catholic Church there in Damascus right now?
Well, again, the church there is an ancient church. It's a church that was born from day one with St. Paul, who was, as mentioned, was converted by the Syrians. You know, that's what the Syrians says. We converted St. Paul in Damascus.
Right.
And as he was baptized also in Damascus, he himself started reconverting people. And how beautiful that is, because today we need a church that exists there that's able to convert others. Hopefully others will convert others as well. And we know that, you know, the church is going through a period of persecution there. very harsh period that started with Jesus' time, and it continues until now, and it's going to be always, because it's part of the promise that we'll be always hated for the sake of the name of Jesus.
Right.
And but we need to persevere. We need to stand strong. And that's where we need the help of others sometimes. It's very hard. Sometimes when the ocean has a huge storm, you need someone's assistance. And that's where the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis come to assist the diocese in Damascus, where Paul was converted. There is a remnant of Christians there that are not only persecuted, they are going through a period of a very harsh war.
Mm-hmm.
So either we're going to lose them all if we don't try to give them help in one way or another. And I'm not talking about, you know, financial help, I'm talking about spiritual help. You know, it's time for the West to wake up and to know that, you know, there are brothers and sisters that are dying, that are drowning, that they are being, you know, somehow extinguishing from the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we do something about it, some years from now we'll be crying and we say, oh, we need to go back to the Middle East to evangelize. No, now is the time for evangelization, especially when we have, say, you know, bodies there that
yeah.
can evangelize for us. So it's important for us to support the church, especially the Catholic Church, because God bless our brothers and sisters of the Protestant faith. They are taking over in Iraq and in many other nations where they are going to evangelize, but we, the Catholic Church, are not doing our good part.
Mm.
So I'm glad that this initiation happened between St. Paul, Minnesota, and the land of St. Paul in Damascus before it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
We need to support them, but we need also to create a long-term partnership, not just for today and tomorrow, but to remain for a long time between
right.
the two countries.
Right. I think that that's an important point, too. And you were saying that they need not just our financial help, but our spiritual help. So certainly one of the things that we can offer right now are our prayers. But situations being what they may or what they are currently, it would be, well, through God, all things are possible, right? But it would be extraordinarily difficult for anyone to, say, go and be there personally in Damascus, at least from the U.S. as United States citizens and that sort of thing. But as Deacon, you were saying before we began the show, we're just starting out, right? So there's hope for further fruits years, perhaps decades down the road.
Right. So we're just now forming what I would call kind of a local steering group made up of parish leaders, the diocesan offices, and actually missionary communities here in the Twin Cities. To come together to begin to organize this in terms of how we might enter into this relationship. And we're corresponding with the diocese there and beginning to learn a little bit about each other. And at some point, I think we will go probably and visit, probably not in Syria, but maybe in neighboring Lebanon, some mutual country that we can both meet in.
Sure.
To see how we might craft this relationship together, how we might be in spiritual support, how we might be in material support to them, and what gifts they have to offer us. And
yeah.
I don't want to underestimate that. One of the things that just struck me so much in the correspondence from the bishop there, to be in a church that's suffering every day, this is the reality, not just of this diocese, but of the Christian faith throughout that area. And when Bishop Nasser wrote to me, he was telling me of a meeting of Christian leaders got together, an ecumenical gathering, and they were talking about their common experience of being crucified. And he said, we have a bond in our suffering that is making us one in a way that we weren't able to before. And he said, he was marveling at the providence of God, that maybe it might be through our suffering that we were able to achieve some sort of reconciliation amongst the Christian entities in a way that we couldn't before. And he has a very, the bishop there has a very poignant way of saying things, but he says maybe it's through the blood of Christ, the cross, will help to reunify the churches. And that, for me, is something that we need to hear, that message. There is something in the experience of the faith there that has something, has a gift to offer us as Catholics, as Christians here. So I think our ultimate goal with a partnership like this is that it really would be mutual, that we all have gifts in the body of Christ, and we all have needs. And in this kind of sharing in faith, we all grow, and that's the idea. And that there is a witness that comes from this kind of sharing in a time where we seem so polarized and divided between here and there, that we as Christians can come together and offer a witness in this kind of mutual sharing. So I think that's the goal, that's our hope, and we keep it open-ended to allow the relationship to grow in its own way.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point. I just to wax philosophic for a moment, I think one of the ways we can be duped in a materialistic world, at least in the West that we live in, is that if you've got the material resources, then you're the one who's providing all the help. Whereas in spiritual capital, that is no way. That is not that's not the case. And I think, well, St. Paul himself went to the degree of saying that, you know, we need to share in the sufferings of Christ, right? That was his understanding of the pathway to eternal life and to the resurrection was through the suffering with the compassion, right, of Christ. Yeah. And I do believe that there are many of our Christian brothers and sisters, as you said, Abuna, around the world, who can teach us better here in the West when we're so addicted to things like comfort.
Exactly.
And to do just that. So if people are wanting to find out more about this, I mean, I realize we're just in the early stages of this partnership, and there might not be a lot to share yet, but I know that the Catholic Spirit has done an article or two about this relationship, so I think you can go on their website, mm-hmm. and just search for Damascus, and I think some articles will come up. The Center for Mission has a way of getting in touch, right? You have your own website.
We do. You can contact us through the centerformission.org. That's okay. Our main website, and through there's an entryway in to find out the ways that we're helping. Or you could email us, missions@archspm.org,
right?
Or contact me at the Center for Mission. At this point, we're just getting started, but for those that are interested in getting involved, supporting this, those would be probably the three best ways I can think of, at least for now.
That's great.
But stay tuned, I would say.
Thank you, Deacon Mickey. That's great. And Abuna, I just wanted to ask you too, if people wanted to learn more, other than visiting St. Marin's, and people want to learn more about the Christianity in that area of the world, in the Middle East and that sort of thing, do you have any suggestions for resources or experiences or things like that people might be able to investigate?
There are lots of things that can be done. You could search, you know, Maronite USA. We have our own eparchy's website that has lots of history, as well as, you know, they could go to stmaron@stmaron.com or stmaron.com website, and they could email me. I could share with them some information about which books they can read about the Middle East and about life and about Christianity and persecutions and so on.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, I want to say thank you both for being on the show today. Deacon Mickey Friesen, the director of Center for Mission, thank you for joining us. And Core Bishop, I was just wondering in our closing minutes together here, if you could actually lead all of us together in a prayer for this relationship with Damascus, with our brothers and sisters in the Archdiocese of Damascus, and then also offer your blessing.
We thank you, Almighty God, for your grace and your blessing. Thank you for the church, your body on earth. We thank you for including us as members of this mystical body. Please remind us always that we are one in you and we are one church under one shepherd. We ask you to sustain the poor and the needy, the refugees in the Middle East and beyond, to bless the church of Damascus and to bless the leaders there that are trying to sustain and to lead your hurting people. Bless that remnant. May they continue to grow in faith. Bless those who are taking care of the Christians of the Middle East. Bless this Archdiocese of St. Paul and all those who are caring for your flock worldwide. We ask you to give us faith and courage, to give us knowledge and wisdom so that we may always follow your will and fulfill it in this life. And we ask you to shower your blessing upon all of us and upon our listeners, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To you be glory and thanksgiving, now and forever.
Amen. Core Bishop, shukran niktir.
Khalilia, God bless you.
It's wonderful to have you on the program as well. So once again, St. Maron's, if you're interested in checking out more about the Maronite tradition, the Maronite Catholic Church, then just go to stmaron.com, and you can find out more about St. Maron's here in Northeast Minneapolis. There are so many ways that we can get involved and we can have an effect on the world around us and continue our own conversion. We're going to come back right after this and talk about some other community events. Stay with us.
Confidence. It's important to have when you're on the road. With innovative Bridgestone tires on your car, truck, SUV, or minivan, you're riding on tires you can trust. Bridgestone tires are engineered to give you peace of mind so you can focus on enjoying the journey. So whether you're on your morning commute, a cross-country road trip, or a relaxing Sunday drive, Bridgestone tires will be with you wherever life's roads may lead. Bridgestone, your journey, our passion. Available at
Westside Tire in Corcoran, just west of the Metro. They'll take care of you.
If you need to get there, Westside will help you get there. I'm Sean Luer of Westside Tire. All of us at Westside Tire can make your daily drives safer and more economical. We'll help you with your basic maintenance, like tires, brakes, and alignments, for better reliability and safety. At Westside Tire, we have tires and brakes to fit your vehicle. Our service people can get you in and out quickly and affordably. Call us at 763-420-2100, just 15 minutes west of the Metro in Corcoran. Westside Tire will take care of you.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. It's been a great show. Paul, hasn't that been just
It's
a,
fantastic.
Oh, man, it's such a great thing to
I
hear
always
about.
Love hearing from Core Bishop Charbel and, of course, from Deacon Mickey.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've got some other things going on around the area,
well, we have
too.
A ton of them going on. Be part of the new evangelization in our archdiocese. Proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message proclaiming to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org. Sign up for evangelization updates.
All young adults ages 18 to 39 are invited to come to the Summer 2017 Theology on Tap series to join in mixing good beer with better knowledge. Connect with others for an evening of food, fellowship, and faith at O'Gara's in St. Paul this Wednesday, July 19th, to hear from Jean Stobelstedt, Archdiocesan Director of Marriage, Family, and Life. Jean will speak on A Direct Line to the Vatican. Social hour is from 6:30 to 7:30, and Jean begins at 7:30 p.m. For more information, visit the events page on archspm.org.
Grandparents, come celebrate the feast of Saints Joachim and Anne, grandparents of Jesus, with Nativity of Our Lord's Grandparents Apostolate, Wednesday, July 26th, 8:45 to 10:30 a.m. in Steiner Hall. Daily Mass offered in the church at 8:15 a.m. All grandparents are invited to a time of enrichment, prayer, and fellowship, highlighted by the Reverend Father Alvaro Perez. He'll present on Consoling His Heart, the spirituality of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Refreshments will be served. Find out more. Visit parish.nativity-mn.org.
The 2017 Leading with Faith Award Luncheon is on Thursday, August 10th at the University of St. Thomas. Join us to honor and celebrate our Leading with Faith winners. Space is limited, so register today. Gather at 11:30 a.m. for check-in and complimentary beverage service. Lunch is served promptly at noon. These awards are presented by the Catholic Servant and the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. For more information and to register, visit the events page on archspm.org or call Mary at 651-251-7709.
Gain valuable resources and knowledge to help further the work of stewardship in our parish communities at the Region 8 ICSC Stewardship Conference at St. Ambrose Catholic Church in Woodbury, August 17th and 18th. All parish clergy, staff, and volunteers are invited. This conference is hosted in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis and co-sponsored by the dioceses in Region 8, that's Minnesota and the two Dakotas. For event details and registration, visit archspm.org/ICSC. For questions, contact Margaret at slawinm at archspm.org.
I'm chuckling here, Paul, because you always get those announcements. A lot of spelling going on. Grandparents, learn about God's plan for grandparents and be equipped to pass on a heritage of faith. The Catholic Grandparents Conference will be held Saturday, August 26th at St. Vincent de Paul in Brooklyn Park from 9:30 to 4 p.m., 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Keynote speakers include Father Donald Conroy and Bishop Andrew Cousins, who will share the importance of grandparents in the family. Online registration is now open. More information, visit events at rediscover-faith.org or visit www.catholicgrandparenting.org.
Join local author and speaker Liz Kelly in an 8-week women's Bible study based on her new book, Jesus Approaches What Today's Women Can Learn About Healing, Freedom, and Joy from the Women of the New Testament. Sessions are Tuesdays beginning September 19th through November 14th. Find out more. Visit the events page of rediscover-faith.org for more information. What's up next week?
Next week, boy, you know, we've been talking about grandparents. We're going to talk about parenting and grandparenting next week. We're going to be joined by Molly Shore, who's from St. Vincent de Paul in Brooklyn Park, and she's going to talk about the upcoming Return series, which helps people to understand why most people leave the church and give us practical tips and strategies to help them come back. Mary Peterson, the Director of Adult Faith Formation for the Archdiocese of Dubuque, will also be on air, and she's talking about building a domestic church in her home. And one more reason to tune in, we'll be giving away 4 free tickets to the upcoming Grandparents Conference. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.